It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Straight Line Was a Lie, the title track from the brand new album by the New Zealand indie pop band The Best. I think they've become one of my favorite current bands.
Yeah. All right, we got a few NBA stories. One, have you studied the Kawhi situation any further? Do you have any further thoughts on whether the Clippers are cheating dogs or not?
I mean, I've listened to some podcast conversations about it. I don't care enough to read in depth, honestly. It seems to me like it's the kind of thing that certainly seems fishy, but it's probably done with some like legal deniability involved. And so, like, you know, this company is a team sponsor. And so Ballmer is investing in the company. So there's a relationship between the company and Ballmer, but they're a team sponsor. So they want to be in, you know, I mean, so it's not unusual for a team sponsor to also have marketing deals with players and marketing deal with a player. The problem is, like, it's a tree removal company. And what tree removal company is paying $28 million for a marketing deal with Kawhi Leonard where he doesn't do anything? And so it certainly looks like it's like, you know, money's coming in one side from Steve Ballmer and coming out the other side to Kawhi Leonard. But, like, I'm guessing there's legal deniability there. But it definitely looks fishy.
I think that's exactly it. Listen, this isn't the Atlanta Hawks and Wayne Rollins. There you'd have something, right? There you'd have a tree. You'd have a tree company. Right. That would make some sense. No, I think it seems fishy as hell, but I suspect nothing will come of it. How do you like the Clippers this year?
I think I'm pretty high on the Clippers as a regular season team. I haven't done my work yet. It's starting to get close to the time to start doing that. But my instinct is I'm going to be pretty high on the Clippers as a regular season team. I don't think I'll be as high on the Clippers as a playoff team. But that team's really deep. You know, you've added, you know, they lost Norman Powell in the trade, but they've added John Collins, Bradley Beal, and Chris Paul to a team that was already deep. And they have a great coach in Tyronn Lue, and I think that team's going to be really good in the regular season. Even factoring in like Kawhi Leonard playing 45 games, you know, I think that team's going to be really good in the regular season.
Yeah.
But the Kawhi Leonard, James Harden part of it makes them a little creaky, and I don't totally believe them in the playoffs.
All right, two other NBA stories. Cam Thomas signed the qualifying offer, 1 year, $6 million back to the Nets. We still don't have anything on Giddey, Kuminga, or Quentin Grimes. Thoughts on any of those situations? I mean, Cam Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Thomas can get buckets, but can he be more than a good stats, bad team guy? I think that's a real question with him. I don't know that he can. It feels like if he's going to succeed in a meaningful way, it's going to be as the sixth man on a good team, a get buckets guy off the bench on a good team. It feels like he will not be a net, you know, this time a year from now. And so we'll see where that goes. With the others, I'm surprised the Giddey deal hasn't gotten done. I mean, they traded Alex Caruso to get him. He had a good season for them. I understand he wants more money than he should probably get, but it feels like a long-term deal still needs to happen there. I feel sort of the same way about the Quentin Grimes thing. The Kuminga thing, they need to trade him. Like, the Warriors need to take the L and move him on instead of this fantasy that they're going to get him on some favorable contract, and then he'll be the piece that gets them their fourth star player or whatever. And just set my man.
What happens if they just don't? Like how what are the various ways this could play out?
Well, I mean, he could come back for the qualifying offer, just like Cam Thomas did. I mean, that's one way. I don't think anybody wants that. And the Warriors are wanting this deal where it's a team option on the second year, which I just think I just think is almost an insult. And I'm not even a big Jonathan Kuminga guy.
So if he comes back on the qualifying, then he can walk, right? Isn't that the...
Yeah. You think qualifying offer, you play for 1 year, you're unrestricted free agent, which is not what they want.
It's not what anybody wants, right? It's not what he wants.
I think they should. I don't know whether they will. I mean, it should have already happened, but they should take the best offer available, whatever it is. There's like stuff out there where apparently, like, you know, the Kings are offering like Devin Carter, and I just take what you can get and move on. But it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
All right. You wrote your piece yesterday on what is happening in on the screens in Memphis. And among other things, we have Hamilton. 10 years ago is when Hamilton first appeared on Broadway.
Yeah, 2015. I think I have the math right there. 2015, 2025. I think that works.
All right. So this is a 10th anniversary, and it's a film version of Hamilton, but now appearing on big screens. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's a film version of the Broadway production with the original cast, Lin-Manuel Miranda, the whole shebang. So it was basically filmed during the initial run. And then it was basically put up to bid. Like, who wants this? This is the only one of these that exists. Who wants it? And Disney paid like $70 million for it or whatever, and was going to put it out in theaters. And then COVID hit. Instead of putting it in theaters, they put it on Disney Plus as an enticement for people to get Disney Plus. So it's been on Disney Plus for 5 years. I mean, I've seen it because we had Disney Plus 5 years ago when our son was 10, you know.
Right.
So a lot of people have seen it on Disney Plus, but also a lot of people haven't seen it on Disney Plus. And so now it's going to get a theatrical run for the first time. And it's really good. I mean, it is a filmed version of the Broadway, but it's a really good filmed version of the Broadway. They're not just sticking a camera in the back of the theater and it's like one just straight shot. Like they're filming it well, but they're also not trying to be obtrusive with it. They're not trying to make it something different from the theatrical version. They're just trying to give you a good version of the theatrical experience. And my memory of it, it's been a few years since I watched it, but my memory of it is that it's very well done. So I highly recommend it if you're at all interested in Hamilton.
So you are not a musical theater guy particularly.
Yeah, not at all.
Okay, not at all a musical theater guy. Did you see this did you see the stage version of this and you were one
over? Yeah, so we took our kids, because our kids were right in the pocket for this, man. Like our kids were 5 and 10. Does that work? Yeah, I think 5 and 10 when Hamilton first came out. And I got the soundtrack just because it had gotten really good reviews from some rock critics, you know, who I respect. So like, okay, I'm going to check this out. So we were listening to the soundtrack like on car trips before we ever saw it. But we did take the kids. They got so into it that it was like maybe a fall break 1 year. We went to Chicago. It was it wasn't like the Lin-Manuel Miranda, but it was a different cast. But it was a long running, like it was at this one theater in Chicago for years.
That's where I saw it.
I think, yeah. And so we saw it there. We did a trip to Chicago one fall break or spring break with the kids and organized around seeing Hamilton.
And you were a fan. You.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's great. I understand some of the critiques of it, but I also like hand wave it ultimately. I just think it's tremendous.
You do in your piece, and people can read it over the Daily Memphian, you discuss some of the eye-rolling, as you call it, critiques. One is that it's not great history. Two, that it's not actually hip-hop. And three, that its politics are a little gauzy and optimistic. Run up against reality. You can acknowledge but wave away those criticisms ultimately?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, I think it's pretty good. Pretty good history for a Broadway musical, I would say.
Right.
And I actually think it's not like, you know, it's not a nation, it's not, you know, Illmatic or It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, to reference a couple of classic hip hop albums. It's not trying to be. It's trying to take the feel and sound of modern hip hop and even more so R&B really, and deploy that in a Broadway setting. And I think it does that better than anything else I've ever heard. Like it brings those two things together very well. But it is bringing those two things together. It is a different kind of thing. And then just in terms of the combination of sort of optimism about America with like this idea of challenging America to be what it should be. honestly, like, you can roll your eyes at that as corny, but honestly, we need more of that. We need more of that energy. So I'm pro that energy.
All right. And it's in films. It's in theaters here in Memphis for on the big screen. You can now see it. By the way, on this somewhat topic of unrelated, mildly related, I was reading a piece in the New York Times about the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere. And I gather they've turned the Wizard of Oz into a this experience at the Sphere, and it's no longer just a film. There's during the hurricane or tornado, during the tornado, like, you feel breezes, and during, like, it's a sort of a all-encompassing film experience that is no longer just film. You haven't seen
we're taking it.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, what's your question?
Well, I was going to say, you haven't seen it, obviously. Do you have an instant reaction to what they're doing here?
We're taking it back to the old days. Honestly, there used to be low tech versions of this stuff for, like, cheapy movies. Like, there was this horror movie called The Tingler. If you read, like, the Stephen King book, Dawn's Macabre, which is sort of about the history of the horror genre in different mediums, like, there's a section of sort of the old movies. And, like, there was this movie called The Tingler. And when they show it in theaters, they would set up in some theaters. I'm sure it wasn't every theater in the country, but some they would set up little, like buzzing things under seats. And at certain points of the movie, like, your seat would start buzzing, right? So this is not necessarily new. It's a higher tech version of the same kind of, like, let's take the movie experience and make it more interactive, you know, and that's been done in different ways, you know, over the years.
They also lop out like 40 minutes or something. They lop out and it's, you know, and they, it's it, never mind the this film has been reformatted to fit your screen. You know, it's been totally reformatted.
Right. Right.
But anyway, all right. Okay. Other releases this week. Splitsville. What's Splitsville?
So Splitsville is supposed to be good. I might try to see that this weekend. It's I don't even know if you call it a romantic comedy. The tagline is an unromantic comedy, but it's about a couple who the wife of the couple says she wants to get a divorce, and it sends the husband into a tailspin. He confides into a couple of their friends who are married about what's happening to them, and finds out that they're in an open marriage. And apparently it sort of goes from there. Maybe a modern version of that old 70s comedy, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
Yep.
It sounds like it's sort of that kind of thing. But it's essentially supposed to be sort of a comedy of manners, so to speak, about these two couples.
And Breakfast Club 40th anniversary in Cordova. I've never seen it. How is it?
You know, it's pretty good. I mean, it wouldn't make my, like, you know, 100 favorite movies ever list or whatever. But the point I sort of made in what I wrote is that those kind of movies now, like, are cheapies that go straight to Netflix and seem totally anonymous. That movie's very much not. Like, it has a real style and a real sense of character to it. And, like, that's a legitimately iconic movie in terms of the characters and in terms of what happens in that movie. More generationally iconic, I guess. But for people who grew up in the 80s, like, that's a real touchstone, and I think a well-made movie.
Lastly, I was in Michigan last week, and I think you talked about going to Chick-fil-A in Minnesota, but I
it's unbelievable.
I went to this Chick-fil-A, and I swear to God,
you feel like you should go every day, right?
Well, I also felt like hadn't opened yet, because literally there was the two, you know, two lane, you know, drive through thing where normally there would be a swarm of people and the cars would be backed up in the street. There was not a single car in the drive through. I literally thought it hadn't. I saw it's a Chick-fil-A that's coming soon or something. I walk in there. It's unbelievable. Is it just your experience?
You sort of have mixed emotions about it. I wouldn't mean you're like, this is awesome. We don't have to wait in line for the Chick-fil-A. On the other hand, you're, like, worried, like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with people? Why? How do the people not know? And is the Chick-fil-A going to go away because the people don't know?
Is it not that good? Why is it just a cult here? We think it's good? Like, who's right? Why is it? Why is no one there?
It's pretty damn good, Jeff. Chick-fil-A.
It's pretty good. Well, then why are they not catching on? Like, you live with these people now.
There's no accounting for taste. I don't understand it.
Absolutely astounding. All right, Chris, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you, man. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks.
Did you see my picture, Jeffy? I posted on social media of Chick-fil-A.
I had the same experience with Chick-fil-A in California.
Okay, so why?
I just think it's not a. It's like they culturally.
But they don't like fried chicken.
No, definitely not in the Midwest. Like, I mean, you could talk me into California, but like.
No, you mean yes? You know, they do not like fried chicken?
Well, no, like, California, you could talk me into it, but like, that's the other thing about California. Like, everyone's not just what you would think of. Like there's normal people out there that are fat. Like, you know.
Right, right. They're normal people. Correct. That's reassuring to know.
I will say this. I did not think the Chick-fil-A's in California were as good.
It's just interesting. I do wonder if we
so
are...
like was yours still good? Did it still taste
well?
Like...
you know what? It was breakfast because I was getting a tire fixed and I went in early, and so I left the car off at the tire place and I walked across the street to a Chick-fil-A, and I got the biscuit, and I think it was a mistake because I think the minis are better.
I'm a minis guy more.
And because the biscuit gets a little
it falls apart.
Well, no, it wasn't the biscuit part. I know you're. It was the fillet itself.
Thin.
It was actually the opposite. It was so thick that it was just a lot of chicken and kind of not dry exactly, but you know how if you get just a big a lot of chicken breast, it's not that you want more breading, you know?
Yeah.
And so was it as good? Honestly, I was a little, maybe that was it. Maybe it wasn't as good. I also wonder if here's the thing. I do think it's good. I think Chick-fil-A is very good. I think it's objectively demonstrably good. But I do wonder if we are a little cultish in how good we think it is. In other words, that if they underestimate it, they're not subjected to the cult at all. They aren't told, got to go to Chick-fil-A. It's the best. And we grow up as if everyone thinks it's the best. The lines are the best. And so we is it partly that we are culturally moved towards Chick-fil-A in addition to it's really good?
No. You're going on a path I can't go with.
Okay, I was grasping. I just found it so astounding. Not a single car. Not one car. I literally did. I started walking towards it, and I'm like, oh, they're not open yet. This is coming in, you know, October. It's a Chick-fil-A that's opening in October. And there was no one there.
I will say where I'll meet you kind of halfway. I do think in the South, it is more of a default. Like, if you can't decide what you want, you'll just go to Chick-fil-A. Yeah. I don't think that exists elsewhere.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're in that mode of, like,
it's
I know I want lunch,
here.
But, like...
Yeah. So, anyway. Okay, we're going to play a Right of the Right trivia. Jeffrey, what's the prize?
Jeff, we've got a family pack of tickets to the Mid-South Fair.
All right. Is that four? Pack is four?
Yep.
How about that? Four to the Mid-South Fair. That's fun. 4-4-5. Perfect time to go to the Mid-South. I mean, here we are. You know, it's
absolutely.
Fall.
Weather's fantastic.
Not really
fantastic
fall,
right
but here we are. 445-0929. 445-0929 is the phone number. You got to either be righter than right, or you got to play honorably. We will take caller number four. Kevin Cerrito joins the show. When we're back, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by Kevin Cerrito. He's the impresario of fun and games here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I like to give shout-outs sometimes here to start. I want to shout-out one of our most loyal listeners out there. It is her birthday today, so I want to give a big shout-out to Beyonce. Beyonce, it's her birthday. this is Beyonce's birthday. And we're celebrating with Beyonce Bingo tonight. So if you want to come out listen to some Beyonce tunes and win some prizes, Beyonce's birthday party's happening at Slider Inn in
Jeff, we don't
Midtown.
Ask that question.
I did just ask her a question. I'm not sexist. I can ask anybody that question. How old's Beyonce?
What would you think?
I don't know. She's in her 40s probably, right? What is she? How old is she?
44 today.
There you go. I added to the right decade. I'm not the one playing right in right trivia, though. You know, so I don't have to be right.
I'm just hoping it's not Beyonce trivia.
Oh, I should. Yeah. Yes, that would be great.
All right, but what else?
Also, Also tonight, well, we've moved one of our bingos to Thursdays. On the first and third Thursday, now we're playing at MFS Brewing. That's the newest brewery in Memphis. They debut a new beer every Thursday. I don't know how they do this, but every Thursday you can try a new beer in their tap room. It's Memphis Filling Station. They go by MFS, which is very similar, not to be confused with WMFS, which you're listening to right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. But yeah, come on down. I'll be there tonight. It's 90s night there, and we've got prizes. We're going to tickets to see X-Files star David Duchovny at Graceland. David Duchovny is pivoted to singing, I guess, and he's got a concert coming to Graceland. And later on this month, we've got tickets, so we'll give that away. It's 90s night, very appropriate prize for that this evening.
All right. Do we have a contestant, Jeffrey?
Jeff, boy, do we have a contestant. Let's welcome East High legend, former Memphis Tiger, Malcolm Rawls is on the program.
Malcolm Rawls, how are you, sir?
Doing really good, Jeff.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. I'm going to turn things over to Kevin. Thank you. All right, here we go.
All right, this is Right or Than Right trivia, but of course, it's just play fair with Jeffrey, right? We're giving away fair prize today. Mm. If you just play fair, got to play honorably. And I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whichever one you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey, and he can steal from you one time and vice versa. Same rules we've got every single week. So let's get this started, Jeffrey. All right, big exciting news this week around St. Jude and the game coming up in October. So, Malcolm, you're the perfect guy here to ask this question to start. Your two categories this morning to choose from are penny or cow? Penny or cow? Penny or cow?
Let's go penny.
All right, we're going penny. Penny on the Big Bang Theory is a fan of what Big Ten football team from her home state?
Just guessing. Let's go Ohio State.
Steal.
He's incorrect. Jeffrey's quickly stealing here.
Man.
Nebraska.
Nebraska is correct. Jeffrey, you watch Big Bang Theory? Or
It's one of those shows I've never gotten the hate. Like, have I seen every single episode? No, but it's like an on enough reruns. Right. And yeah, Kaylee Cuoco was pretty hot.
The Cal question for you, Jeffrey, which... You know, Malcolm, I would have played some defense here. I'm not Cal or Penny, and I can't really coach defense, but I would have played defense here to avoid a Cal question because Tony Hawk and Sean White both came from what California city that is also home to the second largest naval base in the United States?
San Diego.
That is correct. We've got some
tough
hidden sports questions in these opening categories today.
2-0.
Food or drink? Still got time, Malcolm, to catch up. Food or drink?
Food.
Food. What type of French bread gets its name from a phase of the moon?
Phase of the moon. French bread. Only the baguette comes to mind, so let's go baguette.
That is not what we're looking for here. Jeffrey's already stolen.
I get croissant.
It is a croissant.
Yeah.
Croissant. There you go.
Drinks, Jeffrey. What ahead. Diet soda did Coca-Cola introduce in 2005?
Coke Zero?
Coke Zero is correct. Zero, damn, the amount of points Malcolm has right now. Jeffrey with three.
Malcolm, when you were playing football, did you ever fall behind early? Did you ever fall behind early?
Yeah, we can get back. It's how you finish. Yeah.
It's how you finish. That's
Let's
exactly
finish strong,
right. Let's finish strong. All right, over back to Malcolm.
All right, history or science, Malcolm?
History.
What nickname did Andrew Jackson get from the troops he led in the War of 1812?
What nickname did? Yeah, I don't know. Don't know that one.
That's one I know. It's Rough and Ready. Andrew old Rough Jackson. And Ready. Isn't it Old Hickory?
No, old Hickory. Old Hickory. Rough and Rowdy
rough and
was,
ready.
Was
Zachary Taylor. Who was Rough and Ready?
Rough and Rowdy. Were,
old
whatever.
Hickory was... Is that,
well, the Rough Riders was Teddy.
I see. But so it was Old Hickory.
Old Hickory, right, is...
Old Hickory. Is that
is
right?
Andrew Jackson.
Old Hickory is correct. The Andrew Jackson question here this week of 901 Day. One of the three founders of Memphis, Andrew Jackson, along with John Overton.
It's okay,
and
Malcolm.
James
I got a
Winchester.
Science question, so this is a mess.
Science for you. What chemical element is abbreviated Na because it was once known as natrium?
I know that one.
Sodium.
Sodium is correct.
Jeff
is yet to miss here.
What's the score? Hey. I've lost track. Jeffrey's holding up four fingers like it's the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. Four nothing. Four
and,
nothing.
We're one more round before our final round.
One more round.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, let's see if Malcolm can get a point here. Taglines or airlines?
Airlines.
You say airlines?
He's going airlines.
Airlines.
All right. In 1971, United Airlines became the first airline in the United States to create a special section for what type of passengers? In 1971.
First class?
Incorrect. Incorrect. 1971, so United Airlines became...
My thought is it's either smoking...
Yeah, smoking or non-smoking. It was a non-smoking section. Wow. They created a non-smoking section.
Oh, the first for non-smoking.
Smoking was normal. So the normal section was crazy. Was smoking.
I have been on planes where people were smoking. It was, Jeffrey, you have. No. That was nuts. You're in a tube and there's a non-smoking section. Crazy.
Well, it's not like anything
but
bad.
But you don't get a
happen.
Point for that because you already stole it. Yeah. All right. Over to Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, as I mentioned, we're giving away tickets to see David Duchovny live at Graceland coming up later on this month. We're giving those tickets away tonight. Also on our Instagram page, you can find us at Cerrito Live on there on Instagram. You can enter to win. Fill in the blank, Jeffrey, the slogan from the TV show, The X-Files. The blank is out there.
It's truth. The truth is out there.
The truth is correct. Out there. That is the correct answer.
5-0.
Jeffrey with 5 points.
Damn, this is impressive.
We got to play
to the echo of the whistle here. So we'll give Malcolm a point that he can wager, and Jeffrey's wagering 1 point.
It is as uneven as the finals as we can possibly have in this game. 5-0. But he does still have the steal out there. And, of course, you just got to play fair, right, to win these tickets to the fair.
Right.
We've got SUVs as the final category.
What Honda Passport?
It is SUVs is the final category. Your question, A or B?
Let's go B.
B, what is the name of the largest Toyota SUV currently in production?
Is it the Armada?
I think that's Nissan.
Oh, man.
You want another guess?
Okay. Pathfinder?
Nissan.
Nissan.
It starts with an S. I think it starts with an S.
Have you been studying SUVs, Jeffrey?
Well, no, that's what's embarrassing with the last ones. Like this used to be my wheelhouse. It's like car brands.
Jeffrey's now giving heads. Yeah.
What's the answer?
Historic moment here on Rider Than Right Trivia.
Sequoia, I believe.
Sequoia
is correct, yes. Oh, Sequoia.
Jeffrey is a juggernaut, man. Unbelievable.
I mean, he did name the biggest Nissan. I will give him credit on that.
You're going to give him points on that?
Yeah, he doesn't need your pity.
You
know,
thank
he doesn't
you, Jeffrey. Need your... I'll take you.
Yeah. All right, over to Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, your SUV question. Ford Motor Company just announced that this will be the last year they produce the Ford Escape and what comparable Lincoln SUV?
Oh, God. God, what do they have? So that we have the it's not the Expedition. Is it the Aviator?
That is wrong, Jeffrey misses. Okay. You want to steal, Malcolm?
You want to take a shot, Malcolm?
From Lincoln to the
starts with a C. It's an SUV that starts with a C.
Oh, I got no clue.
Lincoln. Corsair.
Corsair is correct.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Corsair is correct. Yes.
4-2. Turns out to be close. You think he played honorably,
Jeffrey? 4-1.
4-1.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But yes, obviously. Malcolm definitely played honorably.
Malcolm, are you still at Rise? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, Jeff, I'm with Rise Memphis. We're celebrating 25 years of financial literacy and financial empowerment for the city of Memphis.
And so what does that involve? How do y'all do what you do at Rise?
So we have our Gold Card program. That's for students in grades 5 through 12, where we do redemption days. And, again, just
an after-school initiative with them where they're getting support and learning financial literacy skills. And our Hallmark program is our Save Up program, and that's a 2-to-1 match program where Memphians come in, they save $1,000 with us, and we give them $2,000 for a total of $3,000.
Wow.
So it's purchasing a home, buying a car, and my favorite is starting a business. So a lot of Memphians are taking advantage of this entrepreneurial opportunity with Rise Memphis.
And it's 25 years next week.
Yeah, we celebrate 25 years next week at our gala at the Memphis Botanic Garden.
Well, congratulations, Malcolm, and thanks for playing. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kevin, where can people find you?
Well, that's awesome, by the way. Shout out to Malcolm here doing a lot of great work here in Memphis. Yeah, so in addition to the music bingos we mentioned that are happening tonight, we've got trivia at Flyway Brewing Company. They're in the Edge District at Evergreen Grill in Midtown, Dan McGinnis in South Haven, Hampline off of Broad Avenue, Huey's out there at Southwind. So five different choices to play trivia tonight. You're guaranteed to hear one or more of the questions you just heard on the radio. So you have an advantage in the game tonight to win some house cash and some free food and drink at some of the best places in the Memphis area. Go to CerritoTrivia.com or CerritoEntertainment.com for more information.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Again, big night tonight on a couple of fronts. Well, we got the Peabody we already talked about celebrating 100 years. That's this afternoon. They're having a party over at the Peabody. We got tonight, we got Memphis soccer women playing Tennessee, number 2 versus number 14, both undefeated. That is here in Memphis. And over at Crosstown, you have the sneak preview of Memphis to the Mountain, the film about the Memphis Rocks climbers climbing Mount Kenya that's going to drop tomorrow night on Hulu. We also have NFL football. And I would ask you this, Jeffrey. Is the game more or less interesting after the Micah Parsons trade?
It feels less, right?
I think it's more.
Just to see what they look like now?
Yeah,
Well, there is the thought that Kenny Clark could be the tush-push stopper.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to be upgraded without him. But like,
Kenny Clark is a good player.
No, he's not Micah Parsons, but he's a good player.
He's a
good player, and they couldn't stop the run last year.
Correct.
It has struggled. Well, those things are all true. He is a good player. Their defense was horrible last year with Micah Parsons, and they've historically had issues stopping the run. All those things are true. No, if Micah Parsons had been – because his agent came out and said he was going to have played, right? He was going to show up and play. That's what the agent said. And so if he had played or
by the way,
nursing his back.
I find him to be the least believable human being. Every time I've heard him talk, I'm like, I don't believe a word you're saying.
But if maybe he'd been nursing. He would have played a limited fashion.
Sure.
That would have been interesting. What's truly interesting to me now is, yes, but do they collapse? Like,
sure.
Do they look like a team that get – if they get run over by the Eagles, I don't mean run over
right.
physically, but if they get destroyed by the Eagles, it takes on a circus quality because of what Jerry did.
Yes.
You know, and then you also – like, the stories out of Dallas are, well, you have to understand – they didn't have Micah all camp long, so it's not going to be an adjustment. The team's fine. Whatever. We'll see. We'll see how the team feels about it, right? When basically it feels like their ownership gave up on him a little bit, traded maybe their single best player.
Yes.
And so, like, what is that going to look like on an emotional night in Philadelphia where they're celebrating a title? And I think there's a potential for Dallas to get embarrassed tonight. And if they're embarrassed tonight in the wake of what happened, it all just comes right back on Jerry, right?
Yeah, but then, like you said, if indeed, like what we started the show of, are they maybe undervalued? Like, if Dallas is frisky,
really all they have to do is be frisky for this kind of to be a win.
Keep our attention.
Be a win for Dallas. There was the story, as you pointed out earlier, that I guess it was from Schefter, that the Eagles tried to get Parsons, but the Dallas, the story isn't that it was close, because the story was that Dallas was not going to do that.
Right.
They just weren't going to trade him in conference, which is, I mean, in division. It's interesting. You'd still trade him in the conference for a team that you're playing in 3 weeks. Like, is that so much better? And a team that you've struggled with, like, whatever, is that a...
I mean, I
that,
think the key is you just don't want to see him twice a year.
I guess you don't want to see him twice a year. You don't want to go through that, seeing him twice a year. What were we... And I know you gave me credit for being right, but I wasn't right either. Because I was right that the Parsons holdout felt different than every other holdout, and he wasn't just going to get a new contract, right?
I said he'd be the highest paid non-quarterback.
That's true. But what I wasn't right about is I thought there was no way that Jerry would trade a superstar because he cares about things like superstardom.
Yes.
Right? Even if you don't think he cares most about winning, he does care about headlines and superstardom and star quality and all of that.
Selling those jerseys, baby.
And Parsons has all of that. Why? What were we so wrong about? What the hell? How did this happen?
I am wondering about the health. Because the one thing that Florio kept saying is part of the reason that the Cowboys were dragging their feet was they were trying to get one more year cheap, one more year, quote unquote, cheap without the injury risk. The fact that he might have to take an epidural every game, like that is, like I can see where you're sitting there going, hey, it's a defensive lineman with some back issues. I'm not really fired up to give this guy the biggest contract for a non-quarterback.
The whole agent thing, the conversation with the agent seems just crazy to me. Like that Jerry would really think that, well, we had a deal. When the agent, you can't realistically think you had a deal when the agent wasn't involved in that deal. I just
don't understand how you can, somebody that has made as many business deals as he has, how can you think you have a deal when you haven't signed anything?
Is Parsons happy?
It's a lot colder up there.
I was going to say, like, so.
Now, I mean, he played up north.
On the one hand, you got your money. Like we talk about, which do you want more, money or winning? And the truth of the matter is, for Micah, he's got both now.
Yep.
He's got a better chance to win a title, certainly this year, right?
Yeah, this year.
Packers have become a lot of people's pick to win the Super Bowl. So better chance to win a title and more money. But I bet he said it. He liked being in Dallas. And living, just put it in our perspective. If you can live in the place where you want to live, that is really meaningful. That is as meaningful to a lot of people in the way that they choose their jobs as anything else. I want to live in, I don't want to live in Sacramento. I don't want to live in Miami. Whatever it is, I want to live in the place I want to live. He was living where he wanted to live, and now he's living in Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, all those guys in the off season always live.
They have houses everywhere.
But wherever they the problem is, during the season, he's got to live there. Like, it's,
and the season isn't like...
Also, if you got a bad back, you know what's not great for bad backs? Cold.
July, August, September, October, November, December, January. 7 months of the year, you're living in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And by the way, then 2 months of the off season where you have to pop in and
right. And
do...
Well, I think he can fly private.
So, yeah. But so certainly 8 months of the year, you're living in Green Bay.
Yes.
Two-thirds of the year. I don't think... Is he happy?
I think in the end, you got the deal.
You got the deal. And you do have a great chance to win.
Yeah.
And, but yeah. I'm fascinated by what this looks like tonight. Because from that perspective, I want to see what Dallas looks like in the wake of this trade.
We haven't even... Like, that's the other thing. This drama has, like, completely... We get George Pickens in a contract year with Dak.
That's the thing.
And CD on the other side.
CD, George Pickens, they got a good tight end.
Yeah.
And it's going to be well-behaved Pickens. And
Yes. No
one has doubted that he's ever talented.
For game one, maybe.
It's contract year.
Yeah, I think what if CD starts getting all those targets?
Yeah, I get that. What's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Bennett Doyle is going to join their program, as he does each and every Thursday.
Oh, I'm joining their program today.
And you
more
are at 11:25.
More me. Just hang on. I'll be right back.
Correct. We will have Eric Hasselstein and Jason Smith with David Cobb and me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. And even more Jeff at 5 o'clock.
Oh, my God. I don't make enough money for this. You don't need to hear this much of me.
We get to, Jeff. It's an honor.
We'll be back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.